Well, today I want to talk about women. Wow, I got a laugh. That's yeah, in fact, I'm a little nervous about it. Women are a complex mystery to us men. Even though I've been married to Doris for 22 years, she is still often an intriguing mystery to me and surprises me. Well, today our society celebrates Mother's Day, but I want to expand that a little bit in our discussion today. I think it's awesome to celebrate mothers, and I'm not playing that down at all. But I think maybe a more appropriate thing for the church to do is to celebrate all women, whether they're mothers, whether they're single, sisters, grandmothers, nieces, to celebrate them all. And so I want to look at that this morning. Take a moment and think about the women in your life. Think about who they are and what they have meant to you. And each of us have had significant, have been impacted significantly by women in our lives who have touched our lives, whether it is our mother or whether it's another person, our spouse. Think about that. And think about what an honor it is to know them. I can think of many that deserve much praise and recognition for who they are as people and all they have accomplished. And at the end of our service today, we're going to give you an opportunity to do that, to recognize some of the women in your life and what they have meant to you and what you recognize in them that you'd like to bring to the rest of our attention. Well, for a scriptural framework to our discussion, I'd like to use what I call the superwoman scripture, Proverbs 31, verses 10 to 31. And this is a little dangerous area to tread, too, because I think it's been a little bit misinterpreted at times. If you look at the passage, it can be quite intimidating. So I'd encourage you to stick with me. Don't be intimidated by it. I think there's much that we can learn from this passage, and so we can't just pass over it and not talk about it. The passage is intended to highlight the qualities that are important in women and to recognize the great value of women who possess these qualities. And we would recognize, too, as we look at this passage, we'll see that what the world values in women is significantly different than what is valued by God and what we see in this passage. And so there's a distinction made here that we want to look at. Now, single women may be tempted to tune me out as well, because Proverbs 31 talks about a married woman. But if you look at the traits that we are going to go over, really none of the traits described are a result of her being married. They're simply a result of who she is as a person. In fact, I think you'll find as we read this that the woman described here seems to be quite capable woman who doesn't even really need a man. So, I mean, if you look at it and look at what's said there, you recognize that she's a very capable person. And it would be just as easy to imagine this description of somebody who is an independent, single woman. So I think this speaks to all women, not just to women who are married. Now, men, you might want to tune me out as well, but I would encourage you to pay attention, because for one, you young men who aren't married and maybe thinking about dating or thinking about getting married at some point, this passage gives some great clues about what qualities in women are important and which ones maybe aren't so important. And it also ends with an important call to us as men on how we are to treat women. So without further ado, let's dive into the passage here. Proverbs 31, 10 to 31. I'm going to read the entire passage and then we'll talk about what it says. Verse 10, a wife of noble character, who can find? She is worth more. She is worth far more than rubies. Her husband has full confidence in her. and lacks nothing of value. She brings him good, not harm, all the days of her life. She selects wool and flax and works with eager hands. She is like the merchant ships, bringing her food from afar. She gets up while it is still dark. She provides food for her family and portions for her servant girls. She considers a field and buys it. Out of her earnings, she plants a vineyard. She sets about her work vigorously. Her arms are strong for her tasks. She sees that her trading is profitable, and her lamp does not go out at night. In her hand, she holds the distaff and grasps the spindle with her fingers. She opens her arms to the poor and extends her hands to the needy. When it snows, she has no fear for her household, for all of them are clothed in scarlet. She makes coverings for her bed. She is clothed in fine linen and purple. Her husband is respected at the city gate, where he takes his seat among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them, and supplies the merchants with sashes. She is clothed with strength and dignity, and she can laugh at the days to come. She speaks with wisdom, and faithful instruction is on her tongue. She watches over the affairs of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children arise and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Many women do noble things, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her the reward she has earned, and let her works bring her praise at the city gate. Well, before we attempt to apply this, we need to talk about how to interpret Proverbs. Proverbs is a collection of wise sayings and divine guidelines. Proverbs teaches underlying principles. But these proverbs are not necessarily intended to be used as literal commands. If that were the case, then godly women would need to work with wool and flax. I don't know how many of you work with wool and flax. You would need to be a seamstress and to make your own thread even. You would need to have a vineyard. How many have a vineyard? Any women? Oh, we have one over here. All right. But yes, if we took this literally and said this is the commands that are supposed to be applied to women, those are the things that you would come up with. And it's interesting, if you do a search on the web for virtuous woman, which is what the King James uses for the description here in verse 10, you'll find a lot of that out there on websites, that the virtuous woman is the epitome of the great homemaker, and that's who this person is. I think that fits well with the description here, but I think the principles that are described here apply to women all across the board, not just the homemaker. And so we can't make that mistake of just saying, well, this describes a homemaker, and so that's what women need to be virtuous. That's an improper interpretation of this scripture. So we want to look at this carefully and see, how do we apply it? What are the key underlying principles here? And number one, I think we need to go to what I look at as a summary of this passage, and that is in verse 30. Verse 30 talks about a woman who fears the Lord. And to me, this really summarizes the whole passage of this woman who is of noble character, a woman who is virtuous, is a woman who fears the Lord. This noble character is hard to find. It's a rare person, it says. It says that they're undervalued. We see this in verse 10, that she is worth far more than rubies, but they're rare to find. The world really has a different value system. And so the worth of this kind of woman is often not recognized. When you see a woman like this, we should recognize her value. For really in this world, there are few of them, is the way this description is given. So what do they look like? And like I said, verse 30, I believe, gives the summary of this person. A virtuous woman is a woman who fears the Lord. This is the key to it all. The most valuable women in the world are those who believe and follow God. And we're going to come back to this at the end again. But it's crucial for us to understand that all of these characteristics really flow out of that primary characteristic of a woman who fears the Lord. And so we want to break down these pieces here. What is a woman, and I'm going to phrase it in that way, what is a woman who fears the Lord? What does that person look like? Well, first we see that they are trustworthy. Her husband trusts her completely. He does not doubt her intentions. She's trustworthy. And what an essential quality, both to have inside a marriage or outside the marriage, in any situation. Someone who can be implicitly trusted to do the right thing, to make the right choices. Nothing is withheld from her because of that trust. Her husband withholds nothing from her because he trusts her with everything. She's trustworthy. Next, we see that she's good. She intends nothing for evil for her husband. She intends no harm for others. She's not manipulative or controlling, having some other agenda that she's trying to achieve. But everything that she does here for her husband, she does for his good. She does not talk poorly of him in front of others or with others. The next point that I see here is that she's diligent. She takes her responsibilities seriously. She doesn't complain about them, but accepts them willingly. She does them to the best of her ability, and she works hard. And it is quality work. As a wife and a mother is described here, she fulfills her responsibilities with grace and strength and is not lazy. Now, when we look at this, I think we have to keep in mind that this quality is flowing from a relationship with God, not out of something that this person is generating on their own strength, their own ability to do. This is coming out of a relationship with God. And I have to think of Mary and Martha when I think of this quality here, because we recognize in the passage of Mary and Martha that Martha seemed to be the one who was industrious and getting things done, and Mary was sitting at the feet of Jesus. And Jesus commends Mary for doing that. And so I think what we need to keep in mind here is, what is it that God has asked a person to do, and are those the things that that we're doing? And not to take away from the diligence that is described here, but it needs to be kept in perspective. Another word that I like to use here to describe this woman is she's prudent. She makes good decisions. And it appears her husband, once again, he trusts her with the finances in the home. She makes responsible use of her assets, those that have been entrusted to her. She makes significant investments. And it seems to me that she doesn't even check with her husband here. It doesn't say that. But her husband trusts her that much to make significant investments with the finances in the home. It's quite the lady that's described. She's responsible with her assets. And she makes good decisions for the family. Another word I would use coming down through these verses is energetic. I don't know that I would have come up with that, but you see that in this passage. Somebody who tackles the things that she's been given to do with energy and enthusiasm. It's an interesting description here. She gives everything to the task she's been given. We also see that she's committed. She does what it takes, and she gives sacrificially to keep her commitments. She's compassionate. She opens her doors to the needy and does not turn them away. She's generous with her time and her resources. She's prepared. She thinks ahead and does not subject herself to others or herself or others to last-minute stressful situations because she has procrastinated or put things off. She's prepared for what will come. She's respected. The way that she lives her life commands respect not only for her, but it appears to even bring respect to her husband because of the way that she lives her life. And my guess to her family and anybody else who's associated with her is a person who is respected. So she garners that kind of respect for herself and for others around her. She's strong. It doesn't appear that she worries a whole lot about what's going to happen. She's confident. And we see that she's wise. She doesn't speak carelessly. Her words are wise. She teaches her children. She teaches others. She appears to be efficient and makes good use of her time and manages it well as well as those who are under her responsibility. She's a good manager. Well, if you go through these, you kind of come away thinking, wow, this is just a woman who's too good to be true. I mean, how many people would feel like they have all of these characteristics? And I could see how you would be overwhelmed by those. And yes, I think we're definitely looking at some ideal characteristics. And the expectation that all of these will be exhibited in one woman all the time, I think, is somewhat unrealistic. So what do we do with it? How do we handle this passage? What do we do to apply it? Do we lower the bar and say, well, we just won't shoot that high because that's just too high to attain to? No, I don't think so. I think we go back to the key to this whole passage again. We shift our focus to the most important characteristic that we've read about here, where all of these others flow from, and that is, we're talking about a woman who fears the Lord. A woman who fears the Lord. When a woman or a man surrenders themselves to the God of the universe, we know that lives are transformed. We know that amazing things happen. We know that we can achieve things that aren't capable by ourselves. And the interesting thing is that this is accessible by everybody. Anyone can access this kind of transformation. Anyone can give their life to the Lord. Anyone can follow the Lord. Anyone can be transformed by the power of the Holy Spirit. Anyone can receive the gift of forgiveness and love that is offered to us through Jesus Christ. And that transformation is a process. We need to recognize that. And we are in a process of being changed. It doesn't happen overnight. It doesn't happen for us men. It doesn't happen for women. And we make mistakes all along the way in that process. And we need to be patient with that process of God working in us and transforming us. We shouldn't be discouraged when we make mistakes. It's going to happen. But we should be encouraged by what God can do in the lives of people. What He can do in each of us. It changes us into the people that we desire to be. We need to keep our eyes on Jesus and to give ourselves the time and space to be transformed. Let's read verse 30 again. It says, "Charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised." I think the beginning of this verse brings out the idea that the world really places value on much different things than what we do. Instead of focusing on the value of a woman who fears the Lord, it focuses primarily, I believe, on a woman's beauty and how to accessorize that and preserve that beauty. Beauty and sexual attraction are what the world promotes as important, as well as other things. And men are caught by a woman's charm and beauty. There's no doubt about that. God wired men to appreciate the beauty of women. He created her to be attractive to man. But in this proverb, we're reminded to look deeper, to look deeper to a woman's character. The physical beauty of a woman will eventually fade, but a woman of true and estimable value is one of noble character that flows from a relationship with the God of all creation. So, you young men, if you're interested in dating or even marriage, I would encourage you to memorize this verse, Proverbs 31:30, and use it as a criteria for you in looking in a dating relationship or looking for someone you might want to marry. Put this at the top of the list. Look first for a woman who fears the Lord. Not for the perfect woman, but for one who has a genuine relationship with God through Jesus Christ. And I think you need to help them by putting these things first. Help refute the values that the world forces on women. And for women, don't buy into these things that the world values. There will always be a competing list that the world will try and push on women. And I don't know what it is in your situation. It can depend on where you're at in life, whether you're young or older. It could be popularity, could be athletic ability, intelligence, personality, status. Whatever it is, don't buy in to that list. But keep the number one thing number one. Recognize the great value and potential you have as a follower of God, a daughter of the King, a person of great value. And may that understanding give you confidence and peace with God, who has made you who you are. And then the last thing for all of us that I'd like to remind us. It says here, let's read verse 28 and 31. 28 says, "Her children arise and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her." And then verse 31 says, "Give her the reward she has earned, and let her works bring her praise at the city gate." And so I would encourage all of us to recognize those women who are following after God and to bless them, to esteem them, to honor them, to give them praise. And so during our sharing time, I'd encourage you to take that opportunity, or later, if you want to do it in person, that might even be better. Whichever way you want to do that, but bless the women in your life that you recognize are following after God, that their hearts are following God. These are the women we praise and give high esteem to. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you for what you have done for us. I thank you for the work that you do in our lives. I thank you for how you are changing us into new creations. And Lord, I thank you for the many women in this congregation who are following after you. There are many women here who fear the Lord, and I just give thanks for them. And Father, they show that in their lives through many different ways, many different actions. We see the evidence of their faith in you and their trust in you. And so, Lord, we just give thanks for them this morning. And we just want to honor them with our words and with our lives. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.